Psalm 61 as we continue to go through the book of Psalms and seek to find our Lord Jesus in the Psalms. Of course, all the Scripture speaks about the Lord Jesus and our great God and King, but there are particular passages that speak about Him and His working and the things about regarding Him when He came and became a man and the things that He accomplished and completed to be the Savior of sinners, the Redeemer of His people. In Psalm 61, we see that it says here that it's to the chief musician upon Negana. And maybe you've noticed when you've read in the Psalms about Neganoth. And these Psalms are songs, and this one's written by Brother David. And so this Negana is a singular stringed instrument. And so as we've taken a look at different Psalms, we've trying to understand from the indication about the tenor, the atmosphere that the song is to be sung in. And you know how it is if you have several guitars playing, the sound that that would make, but then you know the sound and the effect of just one guitar playing, you know, guitar being a common stringed instrument for us, or whether it be violins or cellos, if you have a group, or if you just have one, solitary, single one. And so it gives the mood of the music along with that. And so that's the indication, if we understand it correctly here, that it's a song, and there is music, but it seems to be quiet. Okay, it seems to be that it's quiet and just singular. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. Appreciate the psalm that Brother Bobby read this morning, speaking about David and his looking unto the Lord and his necessity of the Lord to work and to help him. This psalm, as 86 is along that same line. David is in distress. He's going through his days. Maybe he's not in distress, but we know that David had a lot of times of distress, especially when he was running from Saul. And he says, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. Hear me. Hear me, Lord. He's not commanding the Lord, but he's entreating the Lord to hear him. He's got a petition. He has a need. He needs help. And by crying unto the Lord, unto God, he knows that God is able to work and help him in the need that he has. And, you know, that should speak volumes to us that if we don't believe that the Lord can help, we won't go to him. But if we are facing a trial, a problem, an issue, a deficit, a need that we have, the Lord is able to help, and we need to go to him. He's glorified when sinners do go to him. He's worshiped that way. And so Brother David says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. No matter where I am, I can, and you will hear. No matter what the situation, no matter where I am, whether near or far from Jerusalem, it doesn't matter where I go, I will cry unto thee. Will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed? And we're going to talk about that a little bit more here in a moment. He says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that's our target verse for this morning. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. There's no limit to your hearing. There's no limit to your being able to work. When my heart is overwhelmed, have you been overwhelmed? Yeah, we understand about that, don't we? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me. I need you to help me get there. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ tells our brethren that the way we know and where he is going, we know. And of course, some of the brethren there answer, say, well, how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am. And so we always know the way, knowing the Lord Jesus. He is the way. He is our everything. But David says, lead me to the rock. He's overwhelmed, his heart overwhelmed. And he says, lead me to the rock. I need your leadership. I need your help. I need you to take and show me the way to the rock that is higher than I. And listen to what he says. In regards to this rock, for thou hast been a shelter for me. The rock is a shelter. We understand about shelter. Last night was a good night to sleep indoors, wasn't it? And last handful of nights and last week, it's been good to have a place that's warm. The Lord is a shelter unto him. Thou hast been a shelter for me. And David is a man being a shepherd and being a fighting man and being on the run from Saul. He had to sleep in some places that weren't too pleasant. But Lord, you're a shelter. You have been. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, because thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy, a protection. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, because you've been a protector. You've been a place, a covert to hide, a place to be able to be protected. The enemy in you cannot reach me. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. And as I've mentioned recently again, that Brother David's desire was greatly for that. He's a man of the tribe of Judah, called to be king. But he has a great desire to be in the house of the Lord. He just loves and enjoys being in the house of the Lord. He's king. It's his place to go there and worship. And of course, that's the time of the tabernacle. And I would imagine that from what we hear from David, he availed himself much to that. He wasn't missing there in the place that he had as king. And he, remember how he rejoiced in the bringing of the Ark of the Covenant back to be there and ultimately to be brought to Jerusalem. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. He loves to worship the Lord. He enjoys that. He loves being near the place. And understand, in that day, that was the place, even though the Spirit would work in hearts just like he does now to save sinners, and abides in the individual, that was the place where the Shekinah glory was to be, where the Lord had placed his name. And David says, I like being there. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, the cover, the secret hiding place that none other can find, the protection, the covert of thy wings. David says, I will trust in being close to you and your protecting shadow and wings upon me, Selah. There's a pause there in the music to think about that. And, you know, in our hearts and our minds, I challenge us, how do we think about being near the Lord? Brother Stephen brought out this morning about how the Spirit lives within us, and in that we are the nearest to the Lord, but physically we are not. We are not physically. That's withheld from us yet. We have a taste of that when the church meets together with brothers and sisters in Christ, and how it is indeed that those that are saved are the Lord Jesus represented to us, because the Lord's touched you, the Lord saved you, lives within. And we love one another and we enjoy one another's company. But how often do we think about being near to the Lord in that way of the shadow of his wings? And the Lord doesn't have wings, but it's figurative to give us understanding about the compassion, the comfort, the great care of our Lord. It's not something that he just does haphazardly or as an aside, but he's very interested in that. Jesus said, like a hen gathers her chicks. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Now, Jesus, this was the case in David's day, and they would make vows and promises to the Lord to do things, to honor him and that. But our Lord has said, just let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. There are a few vows that we make, vows in marriage and maybe in court, a vow to tell the truth and such as that. But what is it that the Lord has heard out of us in our commitment, our dedication, our conviction that we have to walk with him, to learn about him, to witness of him, to serve him, to worship him? Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. In particular, for Brother David, he was king. And the nation of Israel was his charge as king. I think he was really wowed by that. A shepherd boy being given to be king. But that was the Lord's design and the Lord's work. For you and I, about our blessings. The blessings that the Lord has given us, the calling that the Lord has given us, the things that the Lord has given us, the ones that the Lord has given us in our families, the opportunities that the Lord gives us. Here in the church, he's given us one to another, and that is a great blessing indeed. We need to remember that when we get on one another's nerves and kind of rub each other raw sometimes. I tell you what, we have a great blessing here at Olmsted Baptist Church, having been given our Lord and having been given one another to worship and serve him and witness, shine for him in this day. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. David has promises from the Lord about one sitting upon his throne. Of course, ultimately, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, we don't have a promise like that, but we have a promise that we will live forever. And we have been given eternal life. And if we obey the Lord and follow the Lord and are busy about his work, it can well be that the testimony of our conviction of the Lord and his word and his calling upon us can go and have effect and ramification beyond the years of our physical life. And that's a blessing. And we need to have, as I've challenged us all through the past couple years, to have a vision for the future. What is my place in the work of the church? Yes, young members, our younger members, I'm talking about in physical age, that have been saved more recently. The Lord's blessed that some of our young folks have been saved more recently. You have a place. You have a charge. You need to be thinking and praying and seeking the Lord's face about what it is that you are to do to advance the work here in the church. That will prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. And so we know that David is not going to live more than the time of his generation. I think that's the blessing, is the fruit that will speak even after we are gone. And he shall abide before God forever, and we will, and we do. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. And our Lord is gracious. He's merciful unto us. He loves us. And as we took a look earlier in the year, listen, the truth is the only thing that matters. Meddling with anything else will just not yield any future. Without truth, there will be no preservation. But the truth stands forever. And may we be found in the truth, not standing for the truth, but be, if you will, rolled up wrapped up in it. May God help us. And because of these blessings, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever. And we sing, we had song service this morning. I trust that you sing to the Lord in the course of your days through the week. We need to speak to ourselves in that way, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's a blessing when the Lord gives us a new song or a song that we learn that's new or one of the choruses of that, and we have that in our heart during the course of the week. Maybe you might hear one another humming it, and you know that's an encouragement and a blessing. We have our mind and our heart set on those things. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may perform, may daily perform my vows. For you and I, that we might walk humbly with our God and worship him even personally and publicly and be a good witness of him. But back in verse number 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Being overwhelmed. We've had a lot of overwhelming things this year, individually, as a church, the whole thing nationally and in the world with the COVID, all the things connected with that are maybe disappointment in our government. Some have had financial issues. Some have had very serious health issues, grievous things with family members, just all kinds of different things. A lot of things that can cause us to be overwhelmed within. David says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I get a sense that David is pleading the Lord to in his weakness. I can't even reason out how to get there. And he's not speaking about a physical rock. There's some theologians that think that he's specifying or thinking about a physical rock there in Israel. No, I think it's beyond that. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. I need your leadership, your help. I need you to take hold of me and take me the way that I need to go. I need you to take me to the rock that is higher, a great rock. The rock that is higher than I. In so many ways, our Lord is so, that rock that is higher than us. Evidently, I was blessed with this message last year, and I never preached it, but the Lord knew what it would be for. And so I'm going to rely upon just your knowledge of the scriptures and just to think about the Lord being and how he is the rock that is higher than we are in so many ways. Remember how Moses struck the rock? And the rock was struck for us once too, wasn't he, that we might be saved? Yeah, the rock from which living waters flow. And then how that second time Moses was commanded to speak to the rock. And you know, that's what we do now as his children and saved. We speak to him forevermore. He speaks to us and we speak to him. He's the stone of rest, is he not, in support? And the defeat of Amalek as the children of Israel came out of Egypt, Moses' hands were heavy and they took that stone, they set him on it and they held up his hands. And as long as Aaron and Hur held up his hands, Israel prevailed, and that stone upon which Moses sat was rest and support for him. The law of the Lord is given to us. The word of God written in stone, two tables of stone given to brother Moses. You know what that tells us? That the word of the Lord is settled. Never needs an edit. It's settled. Written in stone at first with the finger of God. He's a rock of protection, isn't he? Brother Moses wanted to see more of the Lord, and the Lord said, I'll put you in the cliff of the rock. Now, you can't look at me and see me and live, but I'll show you what you can tolerate and stand. And he put him in the cliff of the rock. He's the rock of the perfect work, isn't he? Brother Moses, as he preaches to that second generation in Deuteronomy, it says in verse 32, verse 4, he is the rock and his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A rock of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. The rock of the perfect work. He's the rock of provision, as Brother Moses in that same chapter of Deuteronomy 32 goes on to say about his provision of Israel, that he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. He provides. He will provide what we need. He will provide and is able to provide even when it's impossible. How do you get honey out of a rock? He provided for him, didn't he? He did incredible things. Our Lord is the rock of our salvation. Again, in that chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, Brother Moses says, but Jeshurun waxed fat, speaking of Israel, and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. He is the rock of our salvation, the rock that is higher than us. No son of Adam could ever work to bring salvation. It had to be the Son of God, and he has. So many times that the strong rock of my salvation is mentioned by Brother David as he writes the different Psalms. Our rock stands alone. Sister Hannah, desiring a child from the Lord, she worshiped and proclaimed and praised the Lord in 1 Samuel 2:2. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. He stands alone. In Psalm 18:31, for who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? There is none. There is none. As we have seen in the psalm that we're looking at, Psalm 61, it's mentioned in 2 Samuel 22, where Brother David says, verse number 2, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. He is, as Brother David said in Psalm 61 and other psalms and other places, that the Lord is his fortress and his defense. The rock speaks to his children. He's not quiet. He's not silent. And Brother Stephen has brought out how the Lord has brought out his word to tell the truth about what the inhabitants of the earth need. And we live in a blessed day that we have the full canon of Scripture. We've got all the Word of God that we need, and the Lord speaks to his children and to the world. David declares in Psalm 28, verse number 1, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me. Do you want the Lord to speak to you? We should want the Lord to speak to us. Our rock is the Creator, isn't he? He's the Creator. Job, it's declared in Job 38, 6, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, and who laid the cornerstone thereof? The rock did. He is our solid foundation. Brother David declares in Psalm 27, 5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. We hear that those words again. He shall set me upon a rock. Lead me. My heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The rock hears the plea of his children, doesn't he? Brother David declares in Psalm 42, verse number 9, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me. Look at the honesty of David as he speaks unto the Lord. And, you know, we need to have that honesty. Again, not accusing the Lord, not railing on the Lord, but he's just bringing everything that he's feeling and he's thinking. Where is thy God? Well, they say unto me daily, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God, the rock. Our rock is sinless. In Psalm 92, verse number 15, to show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. And we in our day and in this church age, we know that the rock is the chief cornerstone of the church. He is the chief cornerstone of this institution in which he's placed us in. Brother Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, and so he's referencing something in the Old Testament, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. The rock of our salvation and the cornerstone of Olmsted Baptist Church. If we don't have the Lord Jesus, none of the rest of it matters. But we do. And he has done this for us. Our rock is an offense to the secular and religious realms, is he not? A stone of stumbling. That's what's being spoken about there in Isaiah. A burdensome stone that's spoken about in Zechariah. The stone which the builders rejected, Jesus said of himself. The rock. The rock that is higher than we are, he is the one that is rejected by the secular and religious realms, yet he is the one that is the most precious, precious, all in all to us. He is the head of the corner in every respect. He's judge of all the earth. Brother Daniel writes in Daniel 2 about the stone that was cut without hands. And what did it do? It smote the image, representing all the works and all the realms and the kingdoms of mankind. The Lord, the rock, is the judge and the conqueror of all the earth. As great as that head of gold Nebuchadnezzar was, he and all that was represented by the image was destroyed by the rock cut out of the mountain without hands. And then Jesus says in regards to the rock, he being the judge of all the earth, he says, there is a stone. And whoever that stone falls upon will grind him to powder. But whosoever falleth upon that stone shall be broken. Broken in contrition, repentance. And whosoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken, which that's a good thing. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. He is the judge of all the earth. David declares there, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. And we do get overwhelmed, don't we? This year, as we've said, has indeed been a year of overwhelming things, different things for us, and things that have caused us pause at the very least, and much fear for others. That of things that have come upon us and upon our nation. But going forward into the new year, may this be our plea to our Lord at all times. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And to the unsaved sinner, if you're here and you're not saved, listen, I pray that you would be overwhelmed. That you would be overwhelmed. And we say, oh, that's kind of odd for wanting somebody to be overwhelmed. But there are some things that I pray that you would be overwhelmed by. I pray that you would be overwhelmed by the abundance of your sin before God. You have many. And there's not a thing you can do with them. You cannot reconcile them in any way in and of yourself. I pray that you would be overwhelmed by the witness of the rock's word, the Bible delivered from eternity to you. I pray that you would be overwhelmed by that message from your God. I pray that you would be overwhelmed by the holiness of God and the promised wrath upon sin and sinners that his justice demands. I pray that you would be overwhelmed by the greatness of the ability of the rock to forgive you and save you. That you would see that. I pray that you would be overwhelmed by the wonder of the Savior and all that he has accomplished willingly so that a sinner like you can be saved. He did so willingly. I pray that you would be overwhelmed by the call of the Savior to receive him by repentance of your sins before God and faith in the rock that is higher than you so that you would be saved too. And Psalm 61:2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. I pray that you would cry unto him. As it says, the scripture says in Romans 10:12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Psalm 145, verse 18 of the Lord's word declares, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. He's near. And to all that call upon him in truth. The truth is not what you and I think, but what he says and what he declares. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. May the Lord help us that this would be our way, our plea in the days to come.